Can't I download it from your website? Paul wanted to know. It should be available soon. The tech team has been putting out all these fires. If you want, we can have our customer support center install it for you remotely. We can either dial up or use Telnet to connect to the system, if you can support that.
We don't allow Telnet, especially from the Internet. It's not secure, Paul answered.
If you can use SSH, that'd be okay, he said, naming a product that provides secure file transfers.
Yeah, we have SSH. So what's the IP address?
Paul gave him the IP address, and when Andrew asked,
And what username and password can I use?
Paul gave him those as well. Analyzing the con. Of course, that phone call might really have come from the database manufacturer, but then the story wouldn't belong in this book. The social engineer here influenced the victim by creating a sense of fear that critical data might be lost, and offered an immediate solution that would resolve the problem. Also, when a social engineer targets someone who knows the value of the information, he needs to come up with very convincing and persuasive arguments for giving remote access. Sometimes, he needs to add the element of urgency so the victim is distracted by the need to rush and complies before he has had a chance to give much thought to the request. The New Girl. What kind of information in your company's files might an attacker want to gain access to? Sometimes, it can be something you didn't think you needed to protect at all. Sarah's call.
Human Resources, this is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. This is George in the parking garage. You know the access card you use to get into the parking garage and elevators? Well, we had a problem, and we need to reprogram the cards for all the new hires from the last 15 days.
So you need their names?
And their phone numbers.
I can check our new hire list and call you back. What's your phone number?
I'm at 73... I'm going on break. How about if I call you back in a half hour?
Oh, okay.
When he called back, she said,
Oh, yes. Well, there's just two. Anna Myrtle, in finance, she's a secretary, and that new VP, Mr. Underwood.
And the phone numbers?
Right, okay. Mr. Underwood is 6973, Anna Myrtle is 2127.
Hey, you've been a big help. Thanks.
Anna's call.
Finance, Anna speaking.
I'm glad I found somebody working late. Listen, this is Ron Vitaro. I'm publisher of the business division. I don't think we've been introduced. Welcome to the company.
Oh, thank you.
Anna, I'm in Los Angeles and I've got a crisis. I need to take about 10 minutes of your time.
Of course. What do you need?
Go up to my office. Do you know where my office is?
No.
Okay, it's the corner office on the 15th floor, room 1502. I'll call you there in a few minutes. When you get to the office, you'll need to press the forward button on the phone so my call won't go directly to my voicemail.
Okay, I'm on my way now.
10 minutes later, she was in his office, had canceled his call forwarding, and was waiting when the phone rang. He told her to sit down at the computer and launch Internet Explorer. When it was running, he told her to type in an address, www.geocities.com/ron_insen/manuscript.doc.exe. A dialog box appeared, and he told her to click Open. The computer appeared to start downloading the manuscript, and then the screen went blank. When she reported that something seemed to be wrong, he replied,
Oh, no, not again. I've been having a problem with downloading from that website every so often, but I thought it was fixed. Well, okay, don't worry. I'll get the file another way later.
Then he asked her to restart his computer so he could be sure it would start up properly after the problem she had just had. He talked her through the steps for rebooting. When the computer was running again properly, he thanked her warmly and hung up, and Anna went back to the finance department to finish the job she had been working on.
Kurt Dillon's story. Millard Fenton Publishers was enthusiastic about the new author they were just about to sign up, the retired CEO of a Fortune 500 company, who had a fascinating story to tell. Someone had steered the man to a business manager for handling his negotiations. The business manager didn't want to admit he knew zip about publishing contracts, so he hired an old friend to help him figure out what he needed to know. The old friend, unfortunately, was not a very good choice. Kurt Dillon used what we might call unusual methods in his research, methods not entirely ethical. Kurt signed up for a free site on GeoCities in the name of Ron Vitaro and loaded a spyware program onto the new site. He changed the name of the program to manuscript.doc.exe so the name would appear to be a Word document and not raise suspicion. In fact, this worked even better than Kurt had anticipated because the real Vitaro had never changed a default setting in his Windows operating system called Hide File Extensions for Known File Types. Because of that setting, the file was actually displayed with the name manuscript.doc. Lingo. Spyware. Specialized software used to covertly monitor a target's computer activities. One form is used to track the sites visited by internet shoppers so that online advertisements can be tailored to their surfing habits. The other form is analogous to a wiretap, except that the target device is a computer. The software captures the activities of the user, including passwords and keystrokes typed, email, chat conversations, instant messenger, all the websites visited, and screenshots of the display screen. Then, he had a lady friend call Vitaro's secretary. Following Dillon's coaching, she said, "I'm the executive assistant to Paul Spadone, president of Ultimate Bookstores in Toronto. Mr. Vitaro met my boss at a book fair."